It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone. Welcome to our bonus edition of Strange Indeed, dedicated to the Great British Baking Show. I'm Rima.
I'm Greg.
And I'm Wendy.
In this episode, we're covering the Great British Baking Show Collection 12, Episode 10, The Final. We made it to the end.
Yes.
It is bittersweet.
Yep, I'm going to miss having it to watch.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm going to miss hanging out with you guys, you know, once a week for a couple hours, and as much as we say that we could, we can totally do it, you know, more often. We're all busy. We got stuff going on.
Yeah.
And if you don't carve the time out, I feel like I'm making a bunch of cooking puns. If you don't carve the time out, then it's not gonna happen. You end up, you know, being half baked. Ha.
so true.
But yeah, like I was really glad to see it come to what I believe the satisfying ending. But as you said, like a little bit sad to see it go.
Yeah, it's such a feel good and a good pick me up in it. And for me, watching it during this time of year, you know, when it's, you know, getting darker outside sooner and, you know, just like, ugh, you know, kind of just not enjoyable weather. You know, I watch Bake Off and then that always makes me smile. So sad to see this season go by. But hey, we just have to go rewatch some of the old seasons, right? Go dive into some of those earlier seasons and get our fix that way. Well, before we dive into the final, let's take a quick peek at what happened last week with Patisserie Week. So that week, Christian was crowned Star Baker, had a fantastic week that week with his rhubarb saffron danishes and za'atar Gruyere swirls. He had unfortunately placed third in the technical with the opera cake. However, then his showstopper, his Sorrento citrus entremets, really wowed the judges, so he got the title that week. And with that, we also had to say goodbye to Jill. She seemed totally okay with that. She felt she had definitely served her time and felt okay with that decision. So she was the baker that had to go home, leaving us with our three finalists, Christian, Dylan, and Georgie, for this final episode. So some interesting bakes for our bakers this week for the finals. Their first one for the signature challenge, they had to whip up 12 sweet scones and 12 savory scones, which you kind of think, gosh, that doesn't seem that difficult. Wonder why they pick scones. Prue defended that. However, when she's like, you know, it's really hard to, you know, bake a perfect scone. They're looking for something that was, you know, perfectly shaped. And we saw with the bakers, you know, two of the three bakers had to rebake them. So you could actually see how difficult it could be for them to actually come out as they should. So what did you all think of the signature bake this week?
I thought that it was a very British, it throws me back to Ted Lasso. You know, it's a scone. It's like a biscuit, but sucks all the moisture out of your mouth. But, and I'm like, oh, you know what? That's actually really true. Because it's like, oh, yeah, you want it dry and crumbly. And, but the scones that I've always had always look like little basically look like little piles of flour. And so I guess I haven't had like the well shaped ones that are like big and cylindrical and like flat on the top, like they were like Paul was talking about. And a filled scone with strawberry and cream and clotted cream, and I'll tell you what, Christian's, like I was just like, oh my god, like those, both of them, like, and especially the curry, curry mustard chili one. Like I was just like, oh, like I want to try that one. That one sounds awesome. But then like, also George's, the one with the, like the whipped feta, in her savory one, like that one sounded really good. It was an interesting bake to watch because I don't necessarily think about scones being competition worthy item, but I mean they absolutely made it that way.
They sure did. What do you think, Wendy?
I liked that it was scones. I felt like it has such a variety of flavors and fillings, and they did so many different things with it. And it's a, I know this is silly, but like it's a batter that you can really mix a lot of stuff into. And I liked that. I thought it was good. It did seem like at first I was like, well, that seems kind of simple, but it turned out not to be so simple for them. Yeah,
true.
I thought it was bonkers as you were saying, Rena, like two of the three like had such poor shaping that they were like, oh no, I'm not.
Yeah. And I think, I'm sure they practice so much, but the more you mix into that, the more it's hard to figure out the moisture content of what you're mixing it in and what that's going to do to the bake. And so, yeah, I could see it. Yeah.
It's just absolutely insane to me that two of the three had to, like, were like, nope, not good enough. And then Georgie, you know, she talked about, she said, oh, you know, if you have a whole bunch of wet fruit in there, then, you know, so I had to back off. And then one of the complaints was, oh, no, if you're going to make strawberry, then make strawberry. You got to, or I guess it was raspberry. Like, you got to pack raspberry in there. And, you know, right. You didn't hear her say, well, my first batch did do that. It looked like ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was a really good challenge. And I thought, like, and I think they said at some point that Christian was like a nose ahead after Georgie after the second try. I was like, based on the feedback, it didn't seem like a nose. It seemed like a, you know, maybe like a head.
Yeah. I thought his sounded really good. Christian made chili onion curry with whipped feta filling. Yes.
Oh, maybe that was the one that had the whipped feta. Yeah.
Yeah, like whipped feta. Yeah, I'll take that. That sounds great. Yeah. What about you, Rima?
I liked the challenge. I thought it was, you know, just proper British challenge to do scones, and I don't think I've ever been introduced to a proper scone, so getting to see, I guess, the variety of different things that you can do, like I didn't ever think of like a savory scone when they said savory, and then I'm seeing some of these flavors that they're putting out, like I don't think I was a fan of some of them, just like anchovies, no thanks. And then the salmon, no, I'm okay. I don't need any of that. But I just thought it was interesting how versatile that this, like the scones could be. But I did think that Georgie's, you know, looked really good. I know that hers are classic flavors that she tends to stick to, but, you know, they're classics for a reason, and you have to do them really well to stand out. So I was really interested in her, you know, raspberries, you know, with the cream. And then she had this passion fruit curd that just sounded amazing.
Yes.
So that sounded really nice. And I thought hers were really pretty with the raspberries, like, in the dough. I was really interested. I thought most of them looked really good. Again, I wasn't a big fan of, you know, some of the savory flavors, but I would definitely eat like the more sweet ones and, you know, give those a try. But I just thought it was kind of cool to see how versatile. I was like, I just had no idea you could do so much with a scone.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. You think scone and you kind of think boring.
Yeah.
Or plain. Like coffee, but yeah. They were not.
Yeah, a blueberry scone. You know, all right, sure. I think when I went to Boston last week, I had a blueberry scone. I got one at the train station. Guess what? It wasn't cylinder shaped. It was definitely like that little mound of flour that I was talking about. you mentioned Dylan's like smoked salmon. Like that is definitely a flavor profile that I really enjoy. And then I know that fennel can be a very, like when he was describing it, where the fennel was in the dough itself, fennel can be a very like overpowering. I like it. Like, so it doesn't bother me if I end up with a fennel aftertaste, but yeah, like I thought that seemed almost like a, you know, like a bagels and lox, a combination. Like I'd be down. I thought that sounded really good, and I'm sure that I would have loved it even if the bake was not necessarily the best. I did think that the fact that Dylan basically every challenge needed help at the end was very hard to watch.
Yeah.
I know he's young and he really was trying to go all out and whatnot, but just watching that, like if he had one, and you know, Christian's helping him multiple times per challenge. I think at one point both Christian and Georgie were like helping him just try to get stuff together.
Yeah.
And if he had one, it would have been like, oh, I feel like maybe that's a little bit tainted. Don't get me wrong, like the bake is a big bake, but it was definitely hard to watch him struggle as much as he did.
It really was. I mean, I think he just was having a bad day, caught up in his head, and I think it's certainly not because of skill or talent. I think he was perfectly capable of carrying this whole thing home, as I think any of these three bakers truly were, and I think he just had a bad day, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it basically, what it seems like is it just made it less close, where these bakers have put themselves, you know, within, you know, a knife's edge of each other for weeks on end. This one was just a little bit less intense. you had one less component to that, because he really he wasn't able to bring his A game.
Yeah.
I wonder if a little bit, at least for Dylan, he had a little bit of this disadvantage of youth here, where he's got a little bit less experience. And he, I think, allowed himself to get pretty emotional about everything that was going on. Like if something wasn't going his way, he got too caught up in the emotion about it and didn't quite have a plan of, okay, this is not working for me. How do I work through it? How do I, you know, and it's not that he's not talented. I mean, we've clearly seen how talented he is. So I think he's really got, you know, a really great path ahead of him if that's the career he wants to pursue. But I just think he hasn't, like, worked. He's not experienced enough. he'll get there, I think, with if he wants to pursue that. But I think it was just, you know, just age wasn't working for him, maybe, you know, where, you know, Georgie's been baking and cooking for a long time. Christian has as well. And so I think that they had a little bit more experience of working through, like, oh, shoot, that's not going my way. That's failing. How do I work through that to my advantage, or how do I work through it to make it work or whatever? I just don't think he's gotten there yet. That's my opinion.
I can't imagine the pressure. Like,
oh my gosh.
Sure, it's overwhelming.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
I can't disagree.
I think that Paul said something about the showstopper that you're saying right now about just the entire week. You know, it's the things are going to go wrong. It's who deals with it better, who overcomes that adversity, who can adapt and overcome it. That's the person that's going to win, or at least that's the person who's going to be in contention for winning. And, mm-hmm. and as you said, I think that Dylan, just his, I think you're right, his experience level. And I'm not, and I don't mean like adult maturity. I mean, just maturity in the level of capability of dealing with and staying level-headed when things do go awry. And being able to, so yeah, no, I agree with you is basically what I'm saying.
And I kind of think it's psyche in a lot of ways. Like, Georgie was kind of there last week. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, and I think it has a building effect where if you're doing poorly in, like, so you're doing poorly in the signature, you can feel it. Now you have to overcome starting out poorly in the signature, but now you've ended poorly in the signature, so now you feel like the pressure is even more and you got to do even better, and it just kind of builds up and builds up until, you know, it defeats you. And I do think that's what happened. You know, I think it's just it was hard to watch. I'd much rather have watched mm-hmm. three people who did an amazing performance, and it was really hard to pick between the three of them. You know, I'd much rather see that kind of finale than see somebody, you know, having such a struggle. It was not fun to watch, but I know Dylan's going to be fine. He's got an amazing life ahead of him. And if he wants this as a career, there's no doubt that he will do very well.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Dylan at all. I think that he got a great range of experience in his time there on the show and honed some skills, learned some things from his fellow bakers, and he'll be able to take that and continue that. And yeah, if he wants, and it sounds like he does want to, like, pursue that. Like he said a couple times, he wants to be a baker. So I think if he pursues that and studies under some great people, I mean, it's all about just the training, right? And he'll conquer that. He'll get through that. Gosh, he's only 20 years old. He's, in my eyes, just a baby, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could see that he very specifically has the mojo or the moxie to survive in a modern chef's kitchen. You see him doing the planning and the kind of the off the cuff, hey, this is what I'm doing, or no, this isn't good. Like, it would not shock me to see a Dylan-esque character on The Bear, you know, who's, you know,
that would be cool.
gets frustrated and starts yelling because something goes poorly, or no, that's just not good enough. It flashes me back to the Joel McHale, you know, intro to whatever episode it was where he's just cursing
at rough.
Jeremy Allen White or White Allen or whatever the main character, his character, his, and you're just like, whoa, man, this is intense. But I could see Dylan thriving in a scenario like that.
I think working in competitive kitchens is intense. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it was hard to watch because, you know, Dylan is so talented and we've seen him excel week after week and get multiple handshakes, multiple Star Baker titles throughout the week. So it was difficult to see him struggle. And, you know, it didn't look like he was completely finished with his signature there at the end, like at least as far as like the presentation. You know, he did have Christian come over and he was helping him pipe some scones and I think putting some berries or something there on top. And then when they called time, he's kind of looking at it and he's like, oh, it's a mess, you know. And it's like, because he was rushing so much and had to have help. And I'm sure part of that was because he had to rebake some of his scones and that takes time. So it was hard to watch. You don't want to see anybody, you know, struggle like that. And Georgie had her moments too. I love her facial expressions throughout this episode. She's just funny to watch because it's very relatable for me because I'm like just trying to pull something out of the oven and her scones are falling off and she's making faces and I'm like, oh yeah, I can feel that. I have probably done that a time or two. I'm very expressive with my face. I don't have a very good poker face. Probably shouldn't tell that to people in case I ever play cards with anyone listening. But so I could definitely relate. But like she was having a couple moments too. Got really intense. You know, last week, I think Noel made a comment like, oh my gosh, it's so intense. I can't hardly, like I'm holding my breath. And I found myself doing that this week too. Just getting really intense.
And as we mentioned last week, like the editing is really done well enough to create the tension for us, you know, for mm-hmm. viewers. And it very well may be that way in the end where it's down to the last second, but they do a really, really good job of creating that pressure. I'll tell you what, this is one, like this final was absolutely my favorite as far as the difference in accent between Christian and all the Raj and then, you know, and Georgie's, oh, dearie me. I was cracking up.
Yeah.
Just like, it totally was not appropriate for what was happening on the TV, but just hearing the different ways that people are. I didn't think it was funny. I don't think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but we got our first curse word, like our first bleep from, and it was from Georgie. It was like, whoa.
Oh, that's so funny.
And it was like that. Something, I mean, I was like, just because it was very specifically like, because she, oh, sugar. And but at one point they actually bleeped her. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Hearing the Welsh and whatever mix of Christian's accent, I think Dutch is his the most of. So he said the Netherlands, right, was where he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he grew up from all over, but at one point he lived in like Australia and whatnot. But I think the Dutch accent is what I'm hearing in the Dutch pronunciation of English words. Window was talking about all the Raj. Like, that's
all about really the flavors.
Funny. Yeah, the flavors.
Noel was so funny. I bet you Noel's been doing that this whole season.
Right.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been practicing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
It was, and both of them, Georgie and Christian, like they're such great, amazing sports. And I know that we talk about it being like a almost like a beacon of positivity. But man, just each of the Bakers are just so intensely proud of each other, as well as their own personal work. It's so wonderful to watch. And like emotional for literally no reason. Crazy.
Yeah.
Emotional for me, not emotional for them. Obviously, there's a reason for them. But I'm in America. watching, you know, 12 people I've never met before, you know, bake. and do something that I don't do very often. And no reason for me to be emotionally invested, except that they do a good job.
Well, and it's just such a nice, sweet, kind show, and the people are kind on it, so it's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. The technical challenge, quite a challenge, making multiple different items this week. They had to make an afternoon tea display with 4 lemon sandwich cakes, 4 strawberry tarts, and 4 plated egg and cress rolls. And they had to do that in 3 hours. I think I would just melt if you told me I had to make all of that within 3 hours. And not just make it, but it has to look absolutely beautiful and perfect, you know? So it's got to be presented nicely, too. So I thought that was lovely. And I liked that they had to make things that they've kind of worked with before, earlier in the season. Like, Paul made a good point about, you know, how they've had to work on the plating. That was one of the things they had to do during Bread Week, you know, was, and I think they had to do it in another challenge, too. Or maybe someone just did it on their own. Randomly, they did some plating. But it was cool that they brought that in. And then, like, with the tarts, you know, they've been obviously working with pastry and having to make pastry. So I think it was a good demonstration of you should be able to make these things, right? You should be able to make these little sandwich cakes. You should be able to make a good tart, a good pastry for your tart, and make a good bread and plate it well. So it was kind of a testimony to, you know, how well did they learn or retain some of the things that they learned. What are y'all's thoughts about the technical?
I liked it because it was a combination of kind of so many different things that we've seen throughout the season. Like, none of them alone seemed that difficult, although I couldn't do it. But together, it was a lot to put into that little bit of time, you know, and it had so many different components, and it was going to be about time management and prioritization. And I mean, as far as the food, like, I want this lunch. Like, somebody please make it for me. Like, everything looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did think that that proves point, you know, at the beginning was that it was, in fact, about time management. It's about organization. Like, that's what this technical challenge is. That's what the challenge of this part is. It's not that you couldn't make, you know, they could have had any one of those be a technical, right? Hey, make 4 strawberry tartlets and, you know, and have that be a technical in and of itself. But the fact that you had 3 separate things, each of which required, well, I guess the tartlet pastry didn't require proving, but the sponge required proving, the bread required proving. So, like, hey, figure out what, and then if anybody has to remake anything, it completely screws your entire time. Like, if at any given point, hey, I lift the gingham cloth and then I immediately have to start writing out a plan about how I'm going to do things and what order I'm going to do them in order to be able to have enough time. I think Dylan was like, you know, less than 5 minutes left, and they're talking, you know, 10 minutes left, and he's still proving something. I'm like, what is happening right now? I don't understand. I do not get the difference. And then I think that I'm almost positive that they had to blind bake the tartlet crust, because I mean, I think it's at one point I saw Georgie putting in the pastry and with like the little parchment paper with what I'm assuming are baking beans in there, and you're like, okay, hey, like, and I know that, like, when I did it, it was like blind baked for, don't get me wrong, it was a pie crust, but, you know, blind baked for 15 minutes. I mean, that's 30 minutes of baking time just for your pastry crust. Mm-hmm. Let alone you have one oven and you have, you gotta make. And then I think it was that the one that Dylan, that they had the, yeah, because they had the 8 sponges that they had to have, and Dylan had made 4 and then cut them in half, but he made 4 twice. And then they kept sinking. And so it was just like every time he had like, oh no, I'm just going to redo these. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to totally screw your time. It's going to screw your time. Oh my God.
Yeah.
but again, it's stressing me out. Come on, what is happening? But yeah, no, I thought that the time management aspect of it was and I'm sure they've done that before. I know that they've had afternoon tea challenges before, but the idea of walking into it not knowing that you're going to be doing that is that's tough. And I will just modify what you said, Wendy. I would love this lunch if the egg and cress lunch or egg and cress sandwich was like, I don't know, like a curry chicken salad or something like that.
But
every time they were talking about like, this is where I fall apart on judging. I couldn't eat it just because the hard boiled eggs or soft boiled eggs, and watching Dylan cut them up, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be okay. Just don't watch it when it happens. And I open my eyes again. Oh my God, more egg. But
no egg salad for you, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, no. You have to make the egg mayonnaise, and I'm like, oh God, both of those things sound horrible. But yeah, no. If you're like those plaited bread like buns looked so bloody good that I was just like, oh man, that. And then Paul was like, oh, if only he, I wish you guys had, it looks like the plat's excellent. I wish you had cut it from the top and then, to show off the work that you did. I'm like, then put that in the instruction. Like, come on. Make sure that you fill, slit from the top and fill them with egg and cress, whatever. Tell them that. If that's what you want, tell them that. Don't. Like, children make sandwiches. They made sandwiches. Come on. Don't give me that. Anyway, I thought the bread looked phenomenal. And as you said, Wendy, like, even the worst of them, I'd have been like, all right, yeah, I'm down with that stuff.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny watching Georgie and Allison rapping.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You're so cute.
Yes, I thought that was great. Loved it. And Georgie's was a little bit overbaked, but I don't think they were too upset about that.
Yeah, what was in the bottom of the strawberry tarts?
Was it a cream?
It was some sort of
cream.
Cream.
Like a custard?
Yeah, like either a custard or a
cream. Yeah, that's there what was it looked a, like.
There was a word that they, or a phrase that it kept using, and I was just like trying to look it up. But I'm just like, what? I wish I had any idea of what it actually was. I'm assuming some sort of like textured custard in the bottom of the thing, but, or the bottom of the tart, but, it looked really good. Sorry, I kind of derailed that a little bit. But,
yeah, no. What?
Oh, no. Not derailing at all, talking about little strawberry tartlets. I think they would be delicious.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, the and they were talking about they showed, like, the zesting stuff for the sponge, like the lemon sponge cake. Oh, man. Like, that sounds so good, especially post Thanksgiving, where I still got like half an apple pie in my fridge, and I'm like, maybe eat part of the apple pie. It was really good. I did totally do the Jake was in town, and so we were eating some apple pie, and I like picked it up, and I was like, tapping on the bottom of the, a little bit of a soggy bottom on the spa here. Like, it's not. Yeah. I get it. They were, you know, just like, you know, it's not the worst, but, you know, not the best. I felt very bougie doing that.
We've all become couch judges on bakes and pastries now after so many seasons of the show. So as far as the judging of the technical, so Dylan, again, kind of struggling, and you made a good point, Wendy, you know, when he kind of struggled there in the signature and just could not come out of it. And when you're, I mean, it's the final, any small imperfections can, you know, put you behind. So if you're already starting behind with the signature, now he's really got to start digging himself out. You know, if you're having a good day and already on a roll, then if you can just keep up that momentum, it's a lot easier to do, I think, than trying to dig yourself out. And unfortunately, he just continued to not do so great during the technical, because he suddenly forgot how to plait his bread. He did, I think, plaiting a couple of different ways on his bread. And they totally picked up on that. And then you mentioned, Greg, his cakes sunk. Instead of making like individual little mini cakes like the Christian and Georgie did, he made like one and was just going to cut it in half. And there's like cupcakes spilling over and just disproportionate. So that didn't serve him at all.
And it didn't seem like something he would do. Like,
I know.
I don't know if he was just looking for shortcuts or what was happening there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure either, but I was like, oh no, Dylan, you can't, you know, you gotta pull this out of the bag. So Dylan did end up getting third in the technical. Georgie got second. And then finally, Christian, after so many times, scored his first technical this week. So that was lovely. I got a little teary-eyed for him. So happy.
He definitely deserved that. Like, he was doing really well, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was really coming off of a really good week. He had gotten Star Baker the week before, had some really great bakes, and I think he's, you know, had really improved after multiple weeks, and so he was still kind of riding that wave. So yeah, I was really happy for him. So the showstopper, wow, I've never ever seen anything like that in person before, and I don't know what I would do if I did. I think it would be too pretty if I ever saw a hanging cake. I'd be scared to dive into it. So the showstopper, they were tasked with making a decorated hanging cake fit for a summer garden party, and they had to have at least 3 tiers of cake with 2 different fillings. Wow, those showstoppers were just amazing, is all I can say. I cannot imagine trying to craft those sponges, make them perfect, and make delicious fillings, and then now you've got to try to mount this thing on this stand. No, so thanks.
I did, you know, not to steal from somebody else, but I read a recap on vulture.com, and it was basically like, what the ever living F is a hanging cake? Like, why? what's the point besides being pretty? And if it only has to be pretty, then why are you making something that you're going to eat? If you can't go present, take it outside to somewhere, like, who cares what it tastes like? Like, what is, why? And with all of like the hardware going into it, I get it. Like, if you're doing it like for a structural challenge, okay, sure. I can appreciate that, but the like you said, I didn't know that there were such things. Like, why would you have a cake that was hanging that you're going to cut into and then is going to be lopsided if you cut into it? I'm like, why? What? What is the purpose of this besides a decoration?
Right.
I think but, just to add to the challenge and make it look cool.
But when after they cut Georgie's, after they cut into Georgie's, it literally started cocking to one side because a bunch of weight had been removed from half of it.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
I thought Christian's little bulb at the bottom, like almost like a two-tiered bulb, mm-hmm. one that was like bright blue, right? And then he had the next cake above it, which is like, oh, this one doesn't look as great and almost like a textured mud, like coffee cake or something like that around the outside. It was like a beige in the top with the pink collar, like a folded or whatever collar around. I thought that his looked really good in the aspect of like what I mean. Don't get me wrong, Georgie's was phenomenal. It looked phenomenal. I'm sure that it tasted great. But as far as like if you were making art, I thought that Christian was closer to like an artsy thing. Although I'll tell you Georgie's piping and decorations on the outside where she like made the flowers. With mm-hmm. using like a little tiny little cake icing spoon or knife or whatever, I was like, oh my god, like this is true artistry.
It really was. But, it was like a piece of art. It was amazing.
I thought that Christian's like looked like a literal piece of art, like that you would go see mm-hmm. that. Oh, look, that's hanging in an art gallery.
Right.
And then Georgie's, in fact, looked like a cake, which was like, okay, I thought that they didn't even show him assembling it until like literally like the last 30 seconds of before the thing. I was like, I don't understand. All I saw was that one gold brick, and up until the very end as he's putting it all together, like what. I don't. And then he was assembling it upside down. And I was just like, what is happening? I do not understand mm-hmm. how this is working. What is going on? Right. The hanging cake was very, very much like okay, that's the thing, I guess. Cool.
Yeah, I guess I wish in some ways that we had something that was maybe not as technically challenging so that we could really see the best of the best. You know what I mean? I think they were pretty limited by the fact that it was hanging. So that kind of mm-hmm. limits what you can do. But still, they were amazing.
Stunning.
Them were amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning. And I mean, obviously, this isn't just something that you're making, you know, on the weekends for your family, you know, or anything like that. It's not practical. It is a competition show, and it's obviously the showstopper. Showstoppers are always over the top. So I was like, okay, so this is a thing. And after I'd watched the episode, I Googled hanging cakes just to see it. I'm like, okay, well, it has to be a thing, but is this really done? And it looks like the pictures I saw were mostly for weddings. Now I'm sure you could do them for whatever event that you want, right? But I think most of them were mostly wedding cakes, which looked absolutely beautiful. I thought, oh, if I walked in and saw, a wedding cake, like that at someone's wedding, it would just be very visually stunning, and just be, you know, like art. So I think that if you're throwing a fancy garden party, it would be absolutely beautiful. Like Georgie's was, I think, at least aesthetically, was probably my favorite, and probably also favorite just for the flavors too.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was absolutely beautiful that if you were hosting something fancy and had someone make something like that for you, it would be absolutely beautiful. And you get to eat it. It's not just beautiful to look at, but you can also eat it.
Yep.
So
cut from opposite sides if you're
right. This side and then this side and then this side, and just kind of work your way around. You gotta be strategic.
Lemon, strawberry, and champagne. Like those are very classic flavors. Perfect. That are classic for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think at this point it's summer in England, right?
I think at the time that they were filming, it was.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So I think that's perfect for that time of year. Yeah.
I agree. I thought it was just beautiful on the outside, and the flavors sounded absolutely amazing. And obviously the judges were impressed with her layers and her flavors. So
I think it was Prue that said it was utterly delicious.
I think
that's what she said. That's high praise from Prue.
It is.
And I did think her artwork was just amazing.
And her buttercream, she had an elderflower buttercream, which I don't know that I've ever had anything like that, but it sounds like that would be really complimentary to her interior flavors. It just sounded absolutely yummy. And of course, Paul, you know, throws in that it was baked beautifully. So that's obviously what you want to hear from Paul.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Yeah, who was it, Christian, that had the Chantilly in it? There was one of them in one of like the mini layers.
I had down that Christian was lemon, poppy seed, raspberry, and licorice jam. But a lot of times it has so many things in it. I don't write everything in it.
I've been very, since we have talked about Chantilly the last few weeks, I was just like, ooh, that sounds like the light, fluffy, although in hanging cake that where it might end up being compressed, maybe less of an ideal filling. But then you mentioned the elderflower, and I was just like, wait, maybe it was Georgie's that had the Chantilly cream, because like, yeah, as you said, like there are so many. Each of them have so many flavors.
Yeah,
like that light cream or buttercream or whatever would have seems like it would go really really well with the strawberries and lemon. But I felt the same way as. I think it was Allison who said, no, I don't like licorice. Like, maybe raspberry and licorice would go well together. Like, if you, like, boiled it into a goo. I'm not a black licorice person. I can do Sambuca, in those very, very small little shops. Black licorice is not one of my like standout flavors. But again, maybe the raspberry.
I would have liked to try it. I trust them. when they say the flavors are overpowering, and they're two people that really like flavor.
Yeah.
So I trust them, but I do love black licorice. Like, I don't really like jelly beans, but I like black jelly beans. You know, like that's the only flavor I like.
Yeah, I'm not a licorice person. Like even Twizzlers. I'm like Twizzlers or Red Vines or whatever. Like, I'm like, meh, and I'm good. That's not really my jam, but I was definitely watching him cook them together. I was like, okay, like maybe the amount of raspberries would level out the licorice so that it was closer to a flavor that I would find somewhat appealing.
Right.
Right. Well, and Christian, he got some points for his first tier because Paul did really like the structure of the first one. But he did get critiqued for the second tier, saying he didn't think it was as polished as the others. And Christian knew that. I think we heard him make a comment about that as he was putting the finishing touches on that. That's one didn't quite come together, and it was a little bit rushed. So he knew that. His flavors had his cake had flavors of lemon and poppy seed. You could definitely see the poppy seed coming through, lemon, thyme, and cardamom, and then you had the raspberry and licorice jam. And I am also not a fan of licorice. I would still try it though, just because I would be interested. And I think if the like you, Greg, if maybe the licorice were toned down just a little bit and the raspberry was more bigger flavor, I think it would be fine for me anyway. And yeah, it was interesting because as much as Paul and Prue want that punch of flavor, I guess that was too much of a punch because they thought that they were too strong. But, you know, Paul really praised Christian for sticking to, you know, his unusual flavors. So I like that. It's like, you know, it may not be our thing, but they were proud that he still continued to do his thing, you know, that he was still like true to himself and true to trying some of, you know, more unusual flavor combinations. So I like that.
Like,
I recognize that.
Yeah, I would say like he was 50-50 like throughout the season. And like we knew he would come up with some wacky flavor combinations. You know, like sometimes, like I would say half the time they were, you know, knocked out of the park. And the other half, it was like, oh no, it just didn't work. Or it I heard what you said. And then I thought to myself, that's not going to go well together. And then it didn't. Like there was never any like middle ground of I mean, don't get me wrong, he had the capability to do plastic flavors, and he did on occasion. But when he went outside the box, he went pretty far outside the box and either made something that was unexpected and phenomenal or expectedly less than decent or less than positive as far as the review goes. But I'll tell you what, man, the dedication to going, you know what, I'm going to keep trying. And I'm going to just keep, as you said, be true to myself, and I'm going to be that guy who has the funky flavors, and you're either going to love it or you're not. And I'm happy with that. But man, I will just say, like, I will say specifically him, but he did poppy seed. He did not mess around. It was always filled with poppy seed. You saw nothing but poppy seed in those doughs. And maybe that's just the way that poppy seed does end up looking, but like he, it just seemed like it just got way more dense with like poppy seed to dough ratio than I've ever seen anywhere. He just dumps those poppy seeds in there. I'm just like, wow. He did the same thing with this pistachio poppy seed last week or 2 weeks ago. It was like, oh my god, like look at all of the texture in those whatever he was piping in.
I think he got Paul and Prue to say several times that they had never tasted anything like what they were tasting from him. Usually positively. I think this time it was a little bit not as good. And that's probably why he came in number two. But I still think what he produced was amazing. And they were very impressed. And also, like, you know, the I don't know, what do you call it? The guts, the balls to, you know, let it all ride on something you're not completely sure about. And I think that has paid off for him several times this season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think they respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Christian really came a long way. I think he really did. And I think, I mean, he earned his spot. I mean, I definitely think he got there, honestly. And I think he grew a lot. I think he maintained, you know, his, you know, penchant for different kinds of flavor combinations, but also kind of learned when maybe to, you know, make them a little bit more complementary to each other, you know, versus, you know, too far out. Because sometimes he could go a little too far. And that's when he would kind of, you know, some weeks be a little shaky. But then I think he kind of learned, I need to find that balance of trying to be like original and putting together flavors you may not think would go together. And you know, do it in, you know, a delicate kind of way to be able to stay in the competition. Because we've seen, you know, past seasons, some folks just really go too far sometimes and they don't really learn, you know, where to kind of pull back just a little bit, like still push the boundaries, but stay within a certain range of, you know, being able to stay in the competition without turning off the judges.
Right.
So he definitely earned his way and was definitely peaking. So really, really glad for him.
Since this is the last time that we're going to be doing this for a while, I want to bring up something that you guys have mentioned in, you know, throughout the season. And then even talking about last season, like last season we had talked about Maddie, you know, like kind of learning from week to week. And, you know, taking input and whatnot. And we talked about Dylan doing the same. And then, you know, Christian, like, backing off a little bit. And then Don not learning the lesson, so on and so forth. And I don't think that I put together how much practicing they were doing until Georgie's husband was talking about baking 14 hours a day for... like the last 10 weeks. And I was just like, you know, you guys had mentioned like, oh yeah, taking the input and, you know, learning. I'm like, I feel like if you're still going to your job every day, like you're not really learning. I did not think about the fact that they were not going to their jobs every day. They were just practicing their signatures and their showstoppers nonstop for 6 days between, you know, getting home and then like, okay, I actually made it to the next week. It's time to start planning out what it is that I'm going to be doing for, you know, for next weekend. It's just that's insanity. That is insanity.
And I think intense. By the time they get to this point, they're just very glad it's all over. You know, like, you can see the relief on their face as soon as that final is done. Like, you're done. And you made it to the final, the Great British Bake Off. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. All by itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's like, huge.
The final's absolutely huge. But, you made it to the back half. I mean, I guess if you made it to the show, like you did enough to get through. But like, man, I up until this point, I never considered that it was literally like 10 weeks of just pure baking and planning and strategizing and, then practicing things that you've never done before in case they might show up on a technical or whatever, making parkin for whatever reason you might decide to make that. It is just not insanity, because obviously these are people who love what they're doing. It's a very prestigious thing to be on, especially in Britain. But man, like I had never really considered the time and effort that it took. Like, that's a fifth of a year.
Yeah.
Just
it takes over your whole life, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. That's, you know, a fifth of the year is if you made it to the final, but like,
yeah,
even for a month straight, if you just last 4 weeks, you are a month of your year, you're literally just baking and trying and baking and trying and baking and failing and baking. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, no wonder they could go on the show and roll, hand roll, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, my hands are cramping up after like 20 minutes of just trying to get butter and the shortbread across. Like, it's, no wonder they could do this just day in and day out, because they've been doing it day in and day out. Crazy.
They did a little snippet on Christian and his partner, and it was so incredibly sweet. And they were talking about how they grew up watching Bake Off. So whole generations have now grown up watching this. And it's like, you know, I don't know, if we got on Survivor or something, you know, like it's so ingrained. And his partner said that he would get home from work, and before he could put his bag down, Christian was shoving a piece of cake in his face, you know, because I need you to taste this and this and this. And I just thought that was so funny and also adorable. I loved the little personal snippets that we got from everybody in this episode. And so nice to get to know the bakers a little bit better. And it just seems like such an incredible experience for them all to have.
I agree. That's one of my favorite parts of the finals.
Absolutely.
Georgie, they did a little snippet on Georgie with her husband, who was so sweet and supportive. And her kids were just so adorable. She'd really been a traditional mom, supporting her family, doing what moms do so often, which is taking care of everybody else. And her husband said, like, now it's time for her to be in the limelight. And that was really sweet. I really liked that, too. And
Definitely one of my favorite parts of the finals is getting to see the bakers outside the tent and getting a little peek into what they're like at home and getting to meet their families. And it's just so heartwarming. It makes me teary every damn season to hear their families, friends, loved ones showing all that support. Like, you know, oh, they've worked so hard and they really deserve this and we're so proud of them. And of course, we think that they can win, but even if they don't, we're still so proud of how far they've gotten. You know, hearing all of that positivity from their families just is so heartwarming. And yeah, like you were saying, Greg, to hear the amount of time, you know, Georgie's husband talking about her baking and practicing 14 hours a day in the kitchen and how she's had to take a step back from being mom and he's had to step up kind of being more of like the mom. I love that he's being supportive, but it is a good reminder of like how much practice they have to do. I don't think we hear it that often. I think other seasons gotten snippets of, oh, I've been practicing hours and hours, you know, in between each weekend, you know, when they have to go film and do the competitions, you know, and I think it was either last week or the week before, Paul asked Georgie, you know, and I cannot remember which bake it was that they were doing, but he's like, have you done this before? Have you made this before? And she's like, yeah, I made like 200. And he's like, 200? And it was like, yeah. Oh, did she make like 200 last week? Or she made 200 in her lifetime? You know, what's the, but I guess yeah. she must have made them all in that week or whatever before. It's like, that's her right. practicing, you know? So it is like, whoa, it's a commitment. You know, to be there and go that it makes me wonder if that was maybe why Jill was just so relieved when she left that week. She's like, because she made a comment when we got to see all the bakers, which is also great, that had left before. And she's like, I've only been gone a week, but, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm ready just to, you know, watch others, you know, struggle there in the tent. You know, and I'm wondering if that's where she was just like, I'm done. I've had yeah. enough.
It's got to feel good to be done also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You kind of get your life back, right. I guess.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we end this showstopper. So Dylan, I liked Dylan's. I definitely liked the idea, but I agreed with Paul and Prue where they're like, you're going to have to give some context. Like, nobody's really going to be able to look at that and understand what he was going for. But I think that if you knew what he was going for, basing his cakes off of those old buildings and homes, mm-hmm. I thought they were beautiful. I thought he did a great job with it. But he definitely struggled there. I know Paul critiqued his layers. They weren't even. And so he didn't quite come away in a very good spot there. So that was really unfortunate. Although they were all very impressive. They were all beautiful. Georgie came out on top.
Yep.
With that one.
And I don't think it was... I don't think it was a big surprise at right. the end.
Yeah.
I felt like that's how it was going to go. I do think Christian was definitely close, but it mm-hmm. seemed that it seemed like it was Georgie's day. Everything was pointing that way.
mm-hmm.
What did you think, Greg? Yeah. Did you think that yeah. or did you think you weren't sure?
I'll be honest, like after the technical, I was rooting for Christian. But don't get me wrong, like any of them winning, did no problem with any of it whatsoever. But I was kind of rooting for Christian. And I feel like the effusion for Georgie's showstopper and the disappointment in Christian's really kind of made it like, yes, it sounded, I feel like I was a little bit disappointed because I was hoping that Christian was going to get it. But yes, it seemed like Georgie was it. And then it also seemed like they were making or taking pains to make it seem more possible that someone besides Georgie was going to win in like the discussion at the table. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's closer than you think. It's close. I'm like, is it that close? Like, it doesn't feel based on what we've seen.
They want you always to think that.
Right.
Yeah. And I do think it was close between Christian and Georgie, but I did feel like it was clear.
Yeah, I mean, I thought...
I think if Christian's flavors had been a little bit more on point,
right.
it would have been a real tough showdown.
Yeah, and that's what... I mean, and those are the best and intense finals where you're just like, I honest to God have no idea. Like, because everybody was just so on point, and but even at that point, you're like, well, whoever made it, and then they even will talk about it, they're like, oh, it was... this, you know, this amount of filling versus that amount of cake or whatever. Like, it was such a slim margin. But yeah, no, I think that this one was definitely a little bit more weighted. And with good reason. Like, if Christian had, you know, blown them out of the water then I think maybe the technical would have, and the signature would have kind of held a little more weight. But I think Georgie's was so, her showstopper was so significantly superior in all aspects. Like the whole thing looked phenomenal. Apparently the whole thing tasted phenomenal. And there was little comparison. So the short answer to your very short question was, yes, I did feel that way. but I am long-winded as ever.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Georgie probably overall had been the most consistent of the bakers. Well, I don't know. Maybe Dylan was pretty consistent, too.
I was going to say, Dylan, outside of, two bad weeks, he was pretty consistently excellent.
Yep, you're right. Yeah. And when I think about it, from week 3 or 4, Christian's been really zooming ahead of everybody. So, yeah, it's really hard to say. I just loved that we still talked about Christian finally being a bride instead of a bridesmaid. I thought that was really funny. And, everybody was thinking it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, he picked a good couple weeks to peak.
Yeah, for sure.
He did. I was really proud of all of them. I mean, it's unfortunate, but there, can only be one winner. But they've all done so much that they should be proud of, the accomplishments in making it that far. And even the ones that left before, I mean, just making it onto the show, you have to have skill just to even make it there. You don't just take anyone. You do have to qualify. So even just making it on the show is a big accomplishment that everyone should be proud of. So I'm just glad I've never had to sit and judge. I would just want to be like Noel and Allison and just get to watch and maybe eat some of the fruits of their labor. I don't want to have to.
I remember
judge any of that.
I think it was the first time I ever watched Top Chef. I watched. It was like a Labor Day, Memorial Day, marathon or whatever, and I'd never seen it before. And I watched the first episode, and the first challenge was like literally dicing vegetables. It was like, do this kind of cut with this, and this kind of cut with that, and this kind of cut. And then, the first episode, it was, it was like a mom who wasn't a chef or wasn't, trained. And this Top Chef is not like amateur chefs. This is, actual chefs. And I was just like, I feel so bad for her to show up and, hey, I don't want to say you're embarrassed, but you got onto the show, and then within the first 2 days you're out because of basic I didn't go to culinary school, but I like the idea. I like the Bake Off way of doing it, because everybody's an amateur. Some people have some training, but no one's got a job as a baker. No one has their own shop. No one, is necessarily classically trained. I like that requirement. One, I think it levels the playing field a little bit. And it mm-hmm. does make, as you said, Rima, you have to have earned your spot on Bake Off. And I mean, then to go through the grueling of, the grueling, even 2 to 10 weeks of constant baking, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I definitely want to talk a little bit about the Where Are They Now section of the final that we got to. But before we get there, is there anything else from the final that you know, stands out? Any of your favorite lines, any of your favorite moments during the final?
I liked that they called Prue the goddess of ghetto, and I thought the ghetto goddess and the praline Paul was a good combination.
I will say Noel's jumper, like every time I saw it, I was just like, what is on his shirt?
Yeah. Yeah. I always wonder like how that gets past the, but I mean, I don't care. I don't care what anybody wears, but it was funny.
Like,
it was an interesting one this week for sure. I don't know what it was, but it was interesting.
Like it was never on it long enough for me to like examine it. And I didn't go back and like pause and look at it, but I'm just like, this looks like a Grateful Dead shirt that he's wearing as a knitted jumper.
I want to say at the end, like after the final time was up for the showstopper, Allison said, and she was very emotional and her voice was breaking and cracking, you know, and she was like, you've done all that you can. And, you know, you could just see how heavy the atmosphere was and how much she's come to care for these Bakers. Oh. And they've really become a little unit. And I thought that was really nice. I just love Allison's addition to the Great British Bake Off. I'm a huge Allison fan. And I think her and Noel are such a great pair and everybody seems to do really well together. So
I agree wholeheartedly with that.
So kind of funny is that immediately after this, because I watched this last night on Bake Off on Netflix, and then when it ended, it went back and started episode one of collection five, which, and Noel, that was Noel's first season. And so this is collection 12, and because Sue and Mel, because one of the other hosts, I can't remember her name, the first one who did it with Noel, they were like, they're doing like the funny intro or whatever, and they're Sandy. In like a heli. Was it Aunt Sandy? Yeah, Sandy. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, her and Noel are in like a helicopter and like flying over looking for the big white tent or whatever. And she gets off the phone. She's like, you know, on the phone with Sue. Sue, you said it's where? I was like, oh, that's really, really funny. But then, you know, I watched the first time that he said, hey, you know, get ready, get set, bake. And he looks so much different, but this is like his eighth year, which is,
that's wild,
crazy that it's crazy that a comedian / musician has been doing this for 8 years. Hey, a baking judge, sure, absolutely. You know, Paul's been doing this for 15 years or whatever, but like for this to be your normal British gig as a comedian musician. That's pretty phenomenal. And I think he's done great. And I think that, as you said, like, I think that the chemistry that he has built with Allison over the last two seasons it's been two seasons, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's only been, this wasn't the first one because she was there last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, over two seasons, like the rapport that they have built, and the fun that they seem to have together is palpable.
Agree. Any other call outs from the episode? Funny lines, funny moments, anything?
These last 2 weeks have been less funny and more, although I don't know.
Stressful.
I guess last week was the one that Allison fell off the thing, right? There was some levity, but that was unintentional.
I did think it was stressful. I thought watching the last half of the finale, you know, the showstopper, was very stressful because you know how much is riding on it. But also, like, the ending is always just a montage of goodness and kindness, and I'm crying, and I don't cry, although I keep saying I don't cry, but I guess I do because I've been crying a lot lately. And you know, anything that can make me feel that, I'm all for. I need Bake Off every day, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to add was when they were doing the personal montages of the three bakers left in the finale. My goodness, what an adorable child Dylan was. Like, he was just the cutest kid ever.
Right.
The pictures of him, because, I mean, that's probably the only photos they have of him because he's 20. So he's just such a cutie and, you know, seems like such a great guy.
His mom and grandmother were really funny. Not very good at cleaning up. He always leaves messes.
Yeah, I would not want to follow that.
Yeah, I love that. I thought they were so funny. His grandma was so serious. Like, yeah, he's really messy, and he just can't be bothered to clean up. And then I think it was shortly after that that then Dylan is like, oh, I got dough on my shoe. And there's, like, the whole floor underneath him, like, was just filthy. Like, you could see just the mess he made, and it just made me laugh even harder because I'm like, yep, you know, they were just talking about how messy you were. So I thought that was really funny.
Yep. I think that's it for me.
Okay.
Up until Greg, the montage.
Right. I think I'm good.
So with typical tradition, we had a nice Where Are They Now? We did get to see the Bakers have their reunion, which is, again, I don't know. Maybe I'll just go back and watch all the finales of all the seasons, because that's just always the happiest. You get those great montages. You get the families talking about the Bakers, you know, and how proud they are of them. And it's just so positive and uplifting. And then you get the reunion where all the Bakers that have left, you know, are there cheering everyone on. And you just get to see this. I don't know. Maybe it's because it reminds me of our group when the Zed heads get together, you know, when everybody can throughout the, you know, the different get-togethers that we have, either the small little mini reunions or like the, you know, bigger one that we tend to have. Maybe it just kind of gets me in the feels there because it reminds me of our group. And so seeing them get together and cheering each other on and stuff is just so heartwarming and uplifting. But then we got a really nice, you know, well, what have they been doing since Bake Off ended? And I'll just go through here and feel free to throw in any comments or anything that you want to add. But we got to see Jeff and we learned that he did make a cake for his son's wedding,
aww,
which looked beautiful, looked just gorgeous. So really excited for Jeff that he had that accomplishment. Hazel is working for a local bakery. So good for her.
Yep.
She looked like she was having a good time there. John climbed Snowdon with his partner, Liam. That looked like a great time. Mike's been busy with the harvest. He's got to, you know, he's not just baking the food. He's got to make sure we have the food to bake with. So it's very important, his job. Andy and Nellie enjoyed a trip to the seaside with their families. That was absolutely adorable. And I knew they had been traveling because they came up on, Nellie pops up on my For You page on TikTok all the time. And I actually saw a video of her and, Andy, together. And
is
I was like,
her
oh, they're up.
Is
yeah,
it Nellie's?
It's hers.
Oh, you'll have to send that to me. I'd love that.
Yeah. Andy has one too. Cause Andy came up, I think the week or so after Andy left, he came up on my For You page. I can't quite remember what in the world he was doing. I think he was making something in his kitchen, but so yeah, she does have an account, and she's absolutely just a treasure, as she was on Bake Off each week. Samaya spent the summer traveling before she went off for uni. Like, she had a great time. It's good to see Samaya again.
It's crazy what she did before she went to university.
She's just everywhere. She went
She's
everywhere
just starting
and sold
her
the
life.
Yeah. I know. Her and Dylan both just young. Well, she was the youngest at the time, at 18, when she was on there. So yeah, my gosh, these kids. Jill and her dog Arthur went on holiday to Devon, and her husband got to go too.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Eileen and her family went sightseeing in Paris. Oh, her family just looks so adorable. Her kiddos just look like they were just the cutest. Christian showed his mom around the UK. That was adorable.
Yeah.
And then Dylan landed a job in a Michelin starred restaurant. So,
And I'm sure that was talking to Bake Off, you know?
I think 100%. Yeah. Had to. The recognition from being there. And, you know, as we were saying earlier, like, Dylan's going to be okay. And that's at least where I was coming from with that. I thought he's going to learn a lot there, which I don't know what restaurant he's at. I didn't go too deep into looking that if they even told what restaurant. I didn't go looking for it, but he'll learn so much, and he'll really, I think, be able to hone his skill, and he's gonna do just fine. So good for Dylan. Sounds like he's well on his way. And it was interesting because his family said that he was going to go to school for biomedical engineer. I thought, whoa, that's a far cry from baking. So that was interesting to hear. And then Georgie is back home in Wales, and she was happily reunited with her chicken Fanny. And then she added some new chicks to the family.
Yep. That was adorable. I saw her little baby chicks. Yep. I thought it was really sweet. Georgie's kids were there when she won, and her young son was crying, and it was just so adorable.
And then Mike hosted a bake-off reunion at his farm that everyone went to, which I thought was absolutely lovely.
I feel like there was one where Mike and Nelly, like, did something, and then he also had the thing. Was it Mike and Nelly, or was it the Andy and Nelly?
I think it was Andy and Nelly.
No, that was what you guys had said earlier. Yeah. No, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got those mixed up. But yeah, it was cool seeing Nelly again.
Yeah, she's great.
There is a Nelly appreciation group on Blue Sky that I joined. It's so everybody loves her, so it's great. I'm just so excited for all of them.
I need to seek that out because
I would
love that.
Yeah,
she is a treasure. Anything else that we want to say before we wrap?
I don't think so.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, they did have a nice little tribute to a former contestant, Dawn Hollyoake, who died earlier in the summer. So they paid a tribute to her. She competed on the show in 2022. Don't know if anyone watched that year, but Dawn was on that season, and sadly passed. So I like that they paid her a little tribute, and I believe when they had it on her Instagram, a lot of the former bakers from other seasons, as well as bakers on the season she was on, and Paula Hollywood and others, had paid tribute. So I thought that was nice. So that was sad. All right, well, I think that's a good place to wrap it. Gosh, it seemed like it went by kind of fast. You know,
it really did.
Every week. Yeah, it was, and I thought really fast. So can't believe we're over already. Well, we did get some feedback this week from a friend of the podcast, Steve, for the final. So let's see what he had to say.
Hello, Strange Indeed. This is Steve, and this is Great British Bake Off, the final. Whoa, Dylan's only 20, and he's had 3 handshakes and 2 star bakers. Interesting. Wow. Okay, he did win star baker. that last week. Okay, Christiane, I was thinking he made it all the way to the finals, never winning Star Baker, but they just said he did win once. What is Noel wearing? What is on his shirt? Wow, that's pretty significant, Georgie being the first Welsh in the final. That's great. Really seems like Dylan and Georgie are cutting it really close with the signature, and, you know, Christiane seems to be doing really well. Oh, that's always cool when you see one of the bakers. Christiane is done, so he's going to help Dylan with his, and Georgie's just struggling. What does platted meaning? Allison just said for the technical have to be platted. What does that mean? Allison trying to jump on Dylan's back. I just don't know. This edit that Dylan's getting doesn't seem like he's doing well. Oh, the plaiting is what they do when they weave it right on top of each other in the thin strands, maybe. He was saying all the rage, but with his accent, the reg. Oh, just the stuff that they're saying about Dylan's technical, it's not good. Christiane really seems to be getting a winner's edit here. What kind of cake did Allison say for the showstopper? A hanging cake? Did I completely mishear that? Just a three-tier cake? That seems a little strange. Oh, it is a hanging cake. Paul just said hanging cake. Ooh, some of these showstoppers are pretty ambitious. We'll see how they all turn out, though. How's it hanging? Yeah, is he hanging? Is it gonna hang? Yeah, let's see. I'm excited to see what these turn out. Hanging cakes. Wow, they're really impressed with Georgie's cake. Not so much with Dylan's, though. Huh? And of course, Christiane's really impresses. Yeah, Dylan, I don't think you're probably not. It's between Georgie and Christiane at this point. What? Wow, Georgie won. Well, congratulations to the Welsh.
Thanks, Steve.
That was great. As always, you are our treasure, Steve.
I'm so impressed that he keeps up with us.
I know. That was great. Thanks so much, Steve. Really appreciate that. He was just as confused by Noel's jumper as we were. So it wasn't just us.
I'm sure Noel found that. Or I guess people at this point probably send it to him, right? Like, send him crazy sweaters.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Like, here, wear this for the show. And he's probably like, the more wild, the better. All right. So if you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows.
Go out, subscribe, and leave a review for us on Strange Indeed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast.
Anybody watching anything good right now?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
Yellowstone is out, but they're just collecting in my DVR. I haven't watched them. Yeah.
I haven't. I will eventually, but golly, I feel like I need to go back and do a recap on the first half because it was so long ago.
I feel like I've totally forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like almost, it felt like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It was a lot. So, and it's a very dense show. So much happens that I feel like I need to go back and rewatch it and get caught up and refreshed because I've forgotten. And also, there was so much like, behind the scenes drama that happened that it kind of just like left a bad taste in my mouth where I just didn't feel as anxious to watch it. And I hate that because I love that show so much, big fan. And now I'm like, well, now it feels like it's been a little tainted by just some behind the scenes stuff. So, I haven't been rushing to watch it, but I will. I think I have to be just in the right mindset for it. Right now, I'm just watching happy stuff. You know, I'm not in the mindset for like
dark,
depressing stuff right now. So, focusing on happy stuff.
I literally just burned through an entire rewatch of The Good Place, and reminds me of what a great beginning to end show that was. But I've also really enjoyed Bad Monkey on Apple Plus.
Interesting.
It's Vince Vaughn is the lead in that, and it seems very much like a Dave Barry book. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any of his movies or shows or read his book, but it's just like a bunch of different random storyline that are kind of bonkers that all just kind of cross into each other. And, you know, there's a lot of comedy to it, and it's been enjoyable. I think I'm halfway through the first season, or it's literally, I think it's still releasing. And then Shrinking is, as always, continues to be excellent. And they're almost done. I think episode 8 of season 2 is out now. I need to catch up on that. You know, that one's also so good. And Harrison Ford and Jason Segel and Jessica Williams. I mean, everybody in that cast is so good. And they mesh so well together. Been a couple of pretty... pretty heavy heavy topics in the heavy content, but it's all couched in humor, even as like coping mechanisms, and it just seems very, very familiar to me. So it's very much like Ted Lasso, as I think I've said before, where you just go, oh, you know what, this all sounds right and it sounds familiar, and feels good, even though the topic is not necessarily the happiest.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Nice to be able to cope that way.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. On your marks.
Get set.
Bake.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.